I've got Ron and Diane Earle in the studio with me right now, and married these many years. And back in 1990, something happened. So who's going to start? Probably you, Ron, right?
I'll go ahead and start. It was a typical day. It was a Saturday morning, actually, June 9th. And it was not a typical Saturday in regards to I had to get up that day and go to work. We had a business meeting down in Columbus, and we lived in Toledo at the time. And, you know, I got up early in the morning, headed down with my boss, who was driving a car.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at a bank.
Okay.
And at the time, I was doing technology type of work, and we were going down there because the bank was going through a major conversion. At the time, we had acquired a company down there, and we were going down there to do some work.
Okay.
And we were headed down there on a Saturday morning. The night before, it just had rained and rained. It's one of those nights that it was just a non-ending deluge of rain. And we met for breakfast. There were three of us. So my boss was my best friend, and another one of our coworkers. Hmm. And we had breakfast together, had a good time. We always had a great time together. We got in the car and headed south down toward Columbus. And it was overcast. The rain, it was just barely raining, spitting rain at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're heading down south on 23, which is coming into Columbus near 270, which is just about a mile from where the meeting was. It was just north of 270, which is the outer belt around Columbus.
Okay.
And there's a dip in the road that goes down. It's a five-lane highway, two lanes going north and south, and one lane for turn lane in the middle. And the average speed there is probably 55, 60 miles an hour. And we were heading down into kind of a dip area just before you come up to where 270 is, to where our meeting place was. And we're in the left lane of the lanes going south, right next to the turn lane. And the car came up beside us and was passing us on the right, but there's a whole lot of water in the road.
Hmm.
And the driver saw it at the last minute and panicked and turned the car left right where we were, just right in front of our car.
Hmm.
And we said, look out, and my boss who's driving the car turned his car very sharply into the center turn lane, and unfortunately just barely hit a car that was in the center turn lane. But with that, it started spinning our car because we were going about 55 miles an hour when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it started spinning the car and into the oncoming traffic that was going north. So,
first of all, can I just say it's remarkable that you remember these details. Right, Diane?
Well, he remembers everything up until that impact.
Okay.
And then he kind of lost memory a little bit.
So there's about 20. There's some memory that I still don't remember some details on.
Okay.
But
well, I commend you on remembering all of this because I can picture this and I don't even know the area.
Right.
So go ahead.
So we started spinning and there was five cars that hit us and that's what I was told. And when the rescue team showed up, the first responders came. There wasn't a piece of glass that was still left in the car that wasn't broken. And there was glass just everywhere, and all the car was just kind of crumpled.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for my boss, he was instantly killed. And for me...
Oh, my goodness. What's his name?
His name was Steve Jones.
Right.
A very good friend of mine, and his wife, too.
Did Steve know the Lord?
He did. Unfortunately, he had gotten saved, fortunately, about a year before that.
Really?
And
praise God.
Yeah, praise God for that, because he was, he was a strong Christian young man, but walked away from the church because he got disenchanted with what was going on in the church at the time. He ended up going to Vietnam and came back and went to college and just was coasting through life until he received his salvation about a year before that happened.
Wow, that's wonderful. Praise God.
So at that time...
Were you the one who prayed with him?
I was.
You were.
And...
how wonderful.
And, his wife has always wanted him to come back to the Lord, but he just, he was an ex-Navy SEAL, and he was just, very hardened to it. But, the Lord breaks down our hearts. I mean, he takes us through circumstances. And for me, it's never about... With me, my agenda is not Jesus. It's never Jesus. My life is Jesus. And with Jesus being my life, if Jesus is our lives, just the way we live our lives will draw people to the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what happened. I mean, he was just drawn to you know, our life, our family, our the way we interacted,
right,
the way we believed. So
wow, that's powerful. Mm. Well, he's home. He's yeah. just waiting for everybody to show up.
That's right. That's right.
Right? Okay.
That's
right. All right, so so he passed away instantly, and there was a third person in the car.
Who was able able to get out through the broken window. He was in the back seat,
okay, and
the emergency responders were able to get him through the out through the back window, but they couldn't get me out because the car was so crumpled around me. So they had to, you know, cut the car apart and finally get me out of the car and into the, you know, the emergency vehicle, and then they took me to Riverside Hospital in Columbus.
Okay. He was in the front seat, passenger seat.
Right.
And they had to take the jaws of life to get him out.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. I don't know if we should jump over to you at this point. All right. So the accident occurred. You were in the vehicle on your way to the hospital in Columbus. Mm-hmm. And they contacted Diane immediately.
Right. I was unconscious at the time.
Right.
They brought me to momentarily, and then I went unconscious again. And I think, I'm not sure after that, you know, I don't remember, but they, in between that time, that's when they contacted Diane.
Okay. Right. So what happened, Diane? Where were you and what was going on?
I was at home. It was a beautiful, sunny summer Saturday morning, and my three kids were around the block playing at a neighbor's house, and I got that phone call, and I just couldn't believe it.
Right.
He couldn't give me any details, the friend that had called me. And
it was a friend?
A friend that worked with you, right, Ron?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. And all he said was, there's been an accident, Steve Jones was killed, and he couldn't tell me what condition my husband was in at that point. So at that point, all I knew I needed to run over and get my three kids, ages 12, 9, and 4, and just bring them back. And we just went up to my son's bedroom. I don't know why we chose that room. I did have a repairman in the house working in the downstairs bathroom. The funny part of that story is there was a clothes chute in my son's room that went down through that bathroom. And he was in there working. So we went up to the bedroom, and I just started praying. I just prayed my heart out. And I mean, I was just screaming out to God. And I just said, you know, dear God, you can't take him. His family still needs him. I mean, I was just crying out. And I went back downstairs. And the look on that man's face was like, you know, he heard it all because, I mean, I was yelling.
Right.
I was just crying out to God.
Wow.
And so he heard everything. And so at that point, again, I didn't know what condition
was. Was he a believer?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Is he one now?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. That's powerful. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, but my parents came over. My mom stayed with the kids, and my dad drove me down to Columbus.
Oh,
and
thank God.
A right. real long drive, two and a half hours when you don't know what's happening.
Right.
So we get to the hospital.
And no cell phones.
No cell phones. No.
Right,
nobody
right.
to call, like, hey, how's it going, you know?
Right.
And we get to the hospital. They tell us what room. We get there, and he's not there. And so, you know, I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, what's going on? What's going on? And there right. seemed to be a confusion as to where he was. And the looks on everyone's faces is just desolate. You know, everyone's just standing in the hallways, like all the friends and everything. And finally.
So what, people that you worked with who were already there, they were a part of the meeting.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
So no, nobody really knew yet what was going on. And so then the miracle happened right after that, before they brought you up to that room.
What miracle? Okay.
Well, I'll let you finish that when you're in the operating room, right?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, what happened at that time was when they got me to the hospital, they took me right into the operating room, and there was four surgical teams they brought in because they weren't sure where to start. You know, I had a broken neck, a broken back, a broken pelvis, a severe head concussion, my knee was dislocated, a broken collarbone, and massive internal bleeding, and they weren't sure where to start, and I was unconscious. They had run through, they had taken x-rays, they had run me through an MRI or a CAT scan or something, and you know, they just weren't sure to work. So there's four different groups there. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but what happened was, at that time, that's when I passed away. And the next thing I know, I'm in this beautiful, beautiful white room. And I'm looking around, and standing there next to me is my boss, the one that had died in the car with me.
What?
And we looked at each other, and it was funny because we had that look, as you can imagine, on our faces, like, you know, what's going on, you know? And it took us about, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds to figure out what had happened. And I have to tell you that if I can encourage anyone, you never have to fear death if you're going to heaven. The one thing, the biggest thing that you'll realize is the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have no fears. You have no, all the weights of the world are gone. And the biggest thing that you realize is that God truly is in control. You just, I don't know how to tell you, it's in your spirit when you're there that you know that he's in control, so you don't have any worries. And the interesting thing was that God allowed me, I went over to the left side of this room, and I looked out, and it was like a window, and I looked down, and I could see Diane walking back to the house.
What?
As she described.
Wait a minute. Okay, you're in a white room. That's interesting right then and there. Can I ask you a few things about the room?
Sure.
Okay. So it's white walls, white ceiling. Mm-hmm. Is there a door? Are there windows?
There's one door that's on the far right side of the room that has steps going up, white as well, and
steps going up to what?
I'm not sure, but where
whoa!
It's going. But I will.
Yeah.
So I look out the window, and there's Diane walking as she described with the kids, and I could see them right in single file. And the thing that hit me, the funniest was, you know, you'd think you'd look
you
down.
How did you see the kids?
God allowed me to look down and see them walking behind Diane.
This is after I went over to the neighbor's house.
I guess so, right?
Gathered my children, were walking down the sidewalk back home.
Wow.
And the thing that I realized was I had no fear. You know, you think that as a husband, you think, oh, what's going to happen to the kids? And you think you'd worry about those loved ones left behind. You don't. I have to say this, that if you have lost a loved one, and I know how hard that is, the loved one that's gone to heaven is rejoicing. And we're the ones that suffer, obviously, because of the loss. And,
right.
and that's
right.
that's perfectly normal. But I want you to know that the loved one is just is peaceful and just having a great time. I looked down and I had no qualms or no fears that, oh, I'm lost my family or anything. None of those thoughts. I was just happy where I was at.
Yes. So it wasn't like, oh, honey, no, I'm okay. It's going to be all right. It wasn't even like that. Didn't even cross your mind.
No, I just knew
wow.
that. I knew that God had her life and my kids' life, the rest of their lives, and under control. Whatever with me was under control. I was home with him. And
hold on
excited.
A second. Diane.
Yes.
Was that hard for you to hear? When he told you that?
Yes.
Was that
yes,
like, was. Well, that's fine for you to say,
yeah.
right?
yes.
Yeah, because, yeah. of course, well, it's mm-hmm. understandable. I mean, mm-hmm. we're still in the position that you were in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's pretty remarkable and comforting. That's mm-hmm. really comforting. Okay, so mm-hmm. go ahead.
So,
wait a minute. We're going to play a song here, and we're going to do that. Because we're going to come back. I mean, why not? Ron and Diane Earl here in the studio telling you the remarkable story that occurred to them. Ron was in a horrific car accident. His best friend, his boss, passed away in the accident. He passed away. And more details about that coming up here on 102.3. I just had to share this story with you. It's not my story to tell. It's Ron and Diane Earl. And we met... because we were on a trip together to go to Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I found out about your story. And we actually shared this story on the front steps of a church in England, mm-hmm. which was amazing, yes. right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, as I'm being honest with you, you know, I don't remember all of these details. And so I'm completely blown away and just as fascinated as I was when I first heard the story. Because some of it I really don't remember. Okay, so the white room, I find that just so interesting. Did you ever see your Steve again, your friend?
Just during that whole time I was in that room, we were together.
Right.
When I looked out the window and even afterwards as we looked around trying to, you know, we absolutely knew at that time where we were. And we were just kind of having a good time.
Ron, what kind of window? Like an Anderson window? Or you know, I mean, come on, tell me.
No, I can't remember. It was like just an open window.
Yeah.
You know, it was like framed, but it was
But it wasn't
square.
Glass,
no.
Right?
Mm-mm.
No, because he wouldn't, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and you could see your wife and your three children.
Walking down the sidewalk right along by our house. Like, you know, I was up about four stories or something. I could just see it. And the interesting thing about it, when Diane told me about it later, when we finally had an opportunity to discuss it when we could emotionally,
right?
And she told me that it was like, you know, my mouth dropped open because
wow,
that was exactly what I saw. And even when she told me about the prayer that she prayed when she got home, that was a key for me. And I think this is what really melded God's heart with me. And my heart into his, for sure. I was a strong believer then, but it really solidified how much he loves us. And he hears us, because sometimes many of us pray and we don't hear from God. And I love in the Old Testament and some of the readings, just because we don't hear God doesn't mean he's not hearing us. And,
right.
And I just encourage people to keep praying if they have prayer needs. God hears your prayer. So anyways, when Diane prayed that, you know, dear God, don't take him, his family still needs him. You know, I was up there, and then all of a sudden in that white room, God's voice spoke out and said, you need to go back. Your family still needs you.
God quoted you. Oh, my goodness, Diane. I'm sorry. That's unbelievable.
So,
oh, my goodness.
Here, Robin.
Yeah, right. Give me the Kleenex. God quoted you, your prayer. That's unbelievable.
So I looked at when that.
And you remember exactly that way. Yeah,
exactly.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about that, some people ask me, what does God's voice sound like? I can say this, when God speaks, it's not like it's a booming voice.
Yeah.
But God speaks, there's no question that you question it. Even the enemy knows when God speaks, it is what he says it is.
Right.
And so when he said that, I simply looked at my friend and said, let's go. And my friend knew it wasn't for me, just shook his head no. And, you know, he was still happy, but he knew he wasn't going back. And at that point, I just turned around behind me, the whole room was white, except when I turned around, the wall behind me was black. And I stepped into it, and the next thing I know, I was coming to on the operating table. And at that point, it was funny because no one was paying attention to me. There was about 12 people.
You could see this.
Yes, I was awake at the time. I could see, but I was strapped to this table. I had one of those halos on my head, so I couldn't move it. I was completely immobilized.
Right.
So I didn't move anything. And I saw them at the end of the room, and they're all looking at my x-rays, and they were all over the wall. And I heard the neurosurgeon, who was leading all the teams, said, and they're trying to figure out what to put on the death certificate. And he says, I'm not sure. He goes, I really couldn't find anything in the head. You know, I had a concussion, but there was no permanent damage there. And when he said I couldn't really find anything in his head, I started laughing because my mom always would yell at me when I'd get in trouble and say, you must have nothing in your head. And so I started laughing.
Yeah, and you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so sweet.
So all of a sudden, when I said that, they all turned around and started screaming. And then
because you were laughing?
Well, just because I started talking.
Chuckling.
They thought
what did you say?
I said, that's funny. My mom always used to say that to me.
You said that out loud,
right.
And they heard that, and
right.
they jumped out of their skin.
And they come running back, and all of a sudden, all the machines in the room started beeping again, because everything had flatlined. Everything was, there was no noise, no beeping. All of a sudden, everything started
this
beeping.
This is unbelievable.
My blood pressure came back to normal.
Yeah.
The neurosurgeon came over to tell me what was happening, told me what was wrong with me, and then he had me start moving things, and I could move things I shouldn't be able to move with the condition I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's looking at me and he's saying, oh, if I need to go back for a second.
Okay.
When I was up in heaven and God said, you need to go back, your family still need you, a key point I missed was just then I turned and Jesus came up behind me, smiled at me, touched me on my shoulder, walked out of the room and walked up the steps. And
he was coming to get you, and it was like the father said, no, this is not happening. So almost like, I'll see you later.
I think what happened there, Robin,
this
was
is so amazing.
Jesus touched me to heal my body. So when I woke up there and everything seemed to be working now when I was back
Jesus.
Alive again, they put me back through the CAT scan. I had no broken back. I had no broken neck. My pelvis was completely whole. I had no internal bleeding. And I could think and I could remember at that point. And the neurosurgeon was trying to get me through some tests. And I was completely healed except for one spot on my body. And that was my collarbone, which today, as you know, when a bone breaks, it gets bigger where it gets healed.
Okay.
And I always, you know, I tell people, I believe God left that there. So every time I reached up and touched it, I could remember the grace and mercy of his of God. So,
wow. All right, we're going to have to pause here, but wow. Wow. Diane, as you listen to this story, mm-hmm. even now, I'm sure you're still pretty amazed by mm-hmm. it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You guys go to River of Life in Dundee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And is that where you live? You live in that area?
Yeah. No, we live in Sylvania.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right around the corner.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, not far from here at all. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm just blown away by the story, and I'm sure that the audience is as well. By the way, I wanted you to know, if there's a question that you have, you can text it. That would be the best way to do it, or you can call. It's just hard for me to see it. If you see this light up over here, Diane, let mm-hmm. me know. But if you have a question for Ron or for Diane, regarding this story, 419-867-8673. That's 419-867-8673. And we'll be sure, you know, we'll ask and see, you know, what happens. All right, so Jesus taps you on the shoulder, and you believe that in doing so, he healed you.
Amen.
Except for that one spot.
Right.
Which is, you know, it reminds me of Jacob, of course, right?
Amen.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm not going to heal that so that you're reminded, you know, I'm God. You're not. But that's really so, so powerful. Now, you start talking. Everyone is, you know, they jumped out of their skin or whatever. The neurosurgeon regrouped, though, apparently, mm-hmm. right? When did they tell you that you had been gone for 25 minutes?
I think at that moment he came up and they're just shocked because, and I think at that point he was a non-believer, very... very smart, obviously, but he was just trying to figure out a practical reason why everything stopped and they couldn't find any pulse or any brain waves for 25 minutes and wanted me to go through surgery, thought I still should go through surgery. And fortunately, there were some others there that said, no, let's just wait and see. And so they kept me 2 days just to make sure everything was normal. And during that time, Diane was...
Wow. Did you just say kept you there for 2 days in the hospital to see if everything was normal?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the healing was like, I mean, it literally rushed through your body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I mean, except for the collarbone. And
wow.
You know, it was probably a year that the neurosurgeon kept calling me thinking I should still come in and have my head checked.
Yeah.
It was funny. But
you should have said to him, I think you need to have your head checked, right? Diane, mm-hmm. Did they tell you that Ron was gone?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he was dead, and they told you this.
Mm-hmm.
So then what happened?
Well, they finally bring him to his room. I was waiting there for him, and needless to say, he looked like he had been in a car accident. And still, again, just like... Just trying to process all of this.
Right.
You know, what has just happened? What is going on? And his one knee, though, was swollen about the size of a basketball. When I took the blanket off of him, I'm like, oh, my goodness. And
was he gone at that point?
No. He was aware. He knew what was going on, but...
This is after I'd come back.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
they had communicated to you that your husband was gone, or had they?
They told me that, or did you tell me that later when we finally talked?
They told you after when she'd gotten there night, she went up to the room, and I wasn't there. She went back down there, and she asked where I was, and they told her I was still in the emergency room.
Yep.
And that's when it got really serious because she thought for sure mm-hmm. I would probably be in a room. And
mm-hmm. yeah.
But
okay.
But that's when they said that they had lost me, but I was back in there trying to working through things, and they
right.
actually sent me through. Had to go through a whole segment of tests again because they wanted to compare the x-rays. So they had the x-rays with everything broken, with the x-rays next to them with everything healed.
Mm.
And
wow. So, Diane, And you were there, though, with your dad. So thank God, you know, you were not alone.
Right.
And so you see, you know, all these things going on. And so is it registering to you that a miracle has happened?
It was still kind of...
So like, emotional, it's hard to even put your finger on it.
Very emotional, yes.
Right.
Just seeing him in that condition and knowing he couldn't even hardly sit up, you know, that kind of thing. So...
I was definitely sore for a long time. The doctor said, I said, I feel like I run. He said, how do you feel now? And I said, I feel like I've been run over by a truck. And he goes, well, you literally have been.
But it
was funny because you could see the bruises for about 6 or 7 months from the top of my neck all the way to my ankle. And the deepest bruises I've ever seen in funniest colors. But everything was back together working.
And everything was working.
They had gathered his clothes from the car and... His shoes, in the toes of his shoes, was broken pieces of glass.
Where'd that come from?
The car accident.
Yeah, all the glass in the car.
The glass in the car got into the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
How'd that happen?
He was embedded in my forearms for months, and the little pieces had to work their way out.
Wow. That's amazing. Okay, so there was a third person in the car. What happened to that person?
He ended up with he had a twisted back, a strain, and he had a broken leg.
Okay.
And so he went home that day and rehabilitated, you know, at home for 3 or 4 months, and then he was able to come back to work. So.
Wow. Was he a believer?
Not at the time, but he was after that later.
Was he?
He received the Lord, so.
Oh. All right, so we have a question. Somebody is asking. We just want to know what Jesus looked like.
Well, what I can remember he has an awesome, you know, his smile was captivating in regards to that, very welcoming, you know. Mm. It was, color of his hair was more like brown with red in it, kind of, you know.
Really?
And he was dressed, you know, all in white.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I can't remember. I mean,
was his hair long?
It seems to me that it was longer, yes.
Yeah.
Lower past his shoulders.
All right. Did you see his feet? Did he have sandals on?
Sandals on.
He did have sandals on.
I didn't see that until he was walking up the steps, and I go, he's got sandals on.
Awesome. Ron and Diane Earle telling their remarkable story. Ron surviving being dead for 25 minutes.
I can only imagine.
102.3 Proclaim FM. So Diane Earle, Ron's wife, says, oh, that song.
Yes.
Well, you can't help it, right?
Right.
Okay, so, all right. So you see this, you know, a beat up body, if you will, but he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And you're grateful, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you could finally communicate to her, I've seen something, I've experienced something. Did that happen in the hospital?
It didn't. It was when we had gotten home, and it actually been about 2 weeks later.
Really?
And it's because we didn't talk about the topic. Every time we would start going that way, it was just too emotional for the kids and for Diane.
Okay.
But then one day we were sitting there, and she told me the story about going to get the kids.
Yeah.
And then she told me the story of what she prayed, and then... We just started talking about it, and we shared it, and it was, and you know, it's so awesome.
Were the kids there when you were going back and forth reliving this?
You know, I can't remember if they were there or not.
They do know the story.
They do know the story.
That's for sure.
For sure.
And that's what I want to know. I want to know about the kids.
Okay, Matt was 12 at the time, and
he's the oldest.
The oldest, and. Typical 12-year-old, loved his dad, wanted to do everything with me. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, when Diane left with her dad to come down to the hospital, he just begged to come along. But she wasn't sure what the circumstances were going to be.
Oh, right.
So he had to stay home with Graham. And then we have two daughters, Angie and Ellie, who both live around here. Matt lives down in Columbus now. And all three are believers and married and with children. So we have 8 grandchildren now, which to me is one of the blessings. You know, if you think about, would I rather be in heaven or be here? I'd rather be where God wants me to be. And since he wanted me to come back here because there's, I guess, you know, my family did need me. I just love being with my kids and grandkids and pouring into them every chance I get what we can do. So But one of the this is a generational miracle because afterwards, about 4 years later, we had a daughter, Laura, and she now tells the story because she's part of the miracle. If I hadn't come back, the whole thing would have been different from her.
Right.
And for some reason, all my kids are, love the Lord, but Laura has just really been connected with God from a very young age. Gifted singer-songwriter, worship leader, musician, stood her ground through junior high and high school as a strong Christian, living out her faith, and then going to Oral Roberts University and then even working for Compassion International.
Really?
Down in out of Tulsa. I was always envious because by the time she graduated from ORU, she had traveled around the world. She had done worship in places that didn't even have electricity. They had to bring generators in to put in and sharing her testimony and the love of the Lord. And to me, that's just, God had more to do, more planned for us, and which he does for all of us. I mean, every day he wants us to grab it and just know that he loves us.
We have some people who have some things to say, so I'm going to move my mic over here, okay? All right, so thank you for sharing your story. Did your friend go up the stairs with Jesus?
When Jesus went up, my friend was still there until I left. So I didn't say if he followed up the stairs. I'm guessing he did, but I did not see that.
Okay. Can we get a copy of this interview? Well, I don't know.
There is
Do you have something?
There was.
You do?
There's some CDs that were made, so we could. But it's also part of a book that was written about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Miracles Are for Real. What Happens When Heaven Touches Earth by James Garlow, who's a best-selling author. And that came out about 4 or 5, 6 years ago, maybe. James Garlow.
Oh, Garlow.
Yes.
Garlow.
That's right.
James Garlow. And again, the title of the book is?
Miracles Are for Real, What Happens When Heaven Touches Earth.
Okay. All right. So, because she wants to share this with her family. That's what she says.
Awesome.
Then, and that was Susie. Kathy said, did Ron see a voice booth anywhere for me to get my singing voice?
Mm. Kathy Schaefer, is that you?
Oh, okay. I have no idea. Okay. I didn't understand the question there. But anyway, God bless you, Kathy. I am a healthcare provider, another person says. Now, I would love to know who the neurosurgeon was. Mm. I worked many years in ICU and in ER. So, of course, you probably can't say the person's name, right?
And I really don't remember the name. I certainly could look him up. But he was a neurologist at Riverside Methodist Hospital in Columbus back in 1990.
Okay. This gentleman wants to know if where Jesus touched you was at the same side as where your broken collarbone is.
No, it was the opposite.
Okay, well, that makes sense. We want to know what Jesus looks like. We already got that question, and I think that's it for now. Of course, if you have more questions for Ron and for Diane Earl, feel free to call me or text me at 419-867-8673, and more with you guys coming up. Can you stick around for a little bit more? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yep, sure.
All right, here we go. Have you guys been to the Creation Museum, and to the Ark Encounter?
No. We have been to the Creation Museum, but not the Ark Encounter.
Yeah. You've got to see the Ark.
Yeah.
It is remarkable.
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Have you been to both?
Yes, because, we went, on the bus last year. And so, I had the opportunity to be a part of showing. What's that? Are we on the air? Yeah, we're live. We are happening. Diane is so cute. Oh, my goodness. This has been such an amazing, sharing and a beautiful story that you guys have shared with us. I'm sure that it touched your parents' lives. Were both of your parents alive at the time?
Just my dad.
Your dad. And he must have been blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Then extended family members, of course, then your church family, then your friends and all your coworkers. I mean, did people come around cubicles and just stare at you like, wow, he was dead and now he's not, Did people want to talk to you a lot about it?
Yeah, after it first happened, there was a lot of people coming up and wanting to talk about it, and a great time to share a testimony, and, you know, because people need to hear about Jesus and understand how real heaven is, how real God is, how much he loves us, and how much he has us in the palm of his right hand, and in all our plans, you know. And, but I get a lot of questions a lot of times from people that have lost a loved one, and they prayed hard too, and and still lost. And, you know, I just have to think about Deuteronomy 29:29, where there's some things in the secret parts of God
mystery
that we won't know. But I do believe that when you get to heaven, I really think there will be a viewing booth there that he will allow us to individually go in to see why certain things happen in our lives and seeing why it happened and the good reasons why it happened.
Right.
And, you know, we just need to be really serious about our relationship with the Lord.
Well, I just want to say this. I think that one of the best parts of this story to me, for me, was Diane screaming at the top of her lungs for the life of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, those three children, now you have four as you shared, but those children were completely impacted for the rest of their lives because of you beseeched God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah.
And, you know, do we, I'm going to lose it again, but do we cry out like that for the salvation of our families? You know, do we have, is there that kind of that groaning, that desperation, that screaming out to God, where are you? You know, and then here's the story, God, you know, and he's not insulted by that. He understands. He understands. I think about that story where Jesus saw the woman who was the widow and her son was dead. And he could not hold back the goodness of God. And he had to bring that child back to life for her. He just had to do it because he saw the mom just brokenhearted. And that's how he sees us. He knows what we go through. And so it's not like we have to hide this from him or make, you know, coat it with some kind of religion. I mean, it's so beautiful, Diane. I'm so glad that you did that.
And on that day that happened, every year, the girls especially will call him.
Yeah.
And just say, I'm so glad you're here. You know?
And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So before you leave, What do you think you could share with our listeners to encourage them to live their lives for his glory?
Well, I think that, wake up every day knowing it's a new day and God has your best interest in mind, and just spend time with him and just be aware of the presence of God around you. Too many times we're so busy, we don't even sense the goodness around us. We read what's on the media. We listen to what's the news reports on the radio, and we miss all the goodness of the things that God is doing in our lives. God has our best interest in heart, and he loves us so much, and he's just asking us to step out and seek him and spend time with him. And like you mentioned, Robin, you know, the woman that, you know, they prayed for their child, and the woman with the issue of blood, and which is an interesting story that we miss because Jairus's daughter was there, and, you know, it all happened at the same time. We see him as two different miracles, but if you could see
he went on a healing spree.
Yeah, if you could
Jesus,
see, Jairus was so serious, and God and Jesus is walking with him to his house to heal, and that's when the woman with the issue of blood, and his daughter was dying, and the woman reaches out, and he stops. He takes the time to stop to meet her need. Now you can think what Jairus is thinking, right? He's thinking, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but Jesus knows. He has God has our lives in control.
Right.
We just need to trust him.
Yeah. Some trust in horses and others in chariots, but our trust is in the Lord our God. Well, you'll get to see Jesus again. And we'll get to see Jesus, right, Diane?
Right, right.
And in the meantime, let us cry out to God. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. Would you wrap things up, Ron, in prayer? Would you mind?
Father, we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for all that you've done for us and all the listeners, Lord, that Father, those that may not even believe but are so seeking, you love them still, and you're reaching out to them, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you do for us in all of our lives, Lord, in how you care for us. Father, we just ask that you would continue to watch over us, and I pray, Lord, for those that are seeking you, Father, that your hand would reach into their hearts, Father, and their hearts would turn soft and be open to what you're calling them to do. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ron and Diane Earle, thank you so much for coming in. I really deeply appreciate you sharing the story right here on Proclaim FM. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.